time we see these acts against humanity. Well, each for each and each will bleed and shed blood for what they each believe. On and on and on we go. Well, some will you see and some won't be. Truth for you and truth will lead you to a sense of heart. Well, now.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Raymond Zielinskas, who directs the Chemical and Biological Weapons Nonproliferation Program at the James Martin Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute for International Studies. He was a United Nations Special Commission Weapons Inspector in Iraq and is the author of Biological Warfare, Modern Offense, Offense and Defense. And his latest book is The Soviet Biological Weapons Program, A History. He has an article in the National Interest, Preventing the Use of Syrian Chemical Weapons. Welcome to Background Briefing, Raymond Zielinskas.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be with you once again.
And not under the best of circumstances, given that the Syrian government fairly recently went public and acknowledged their possession of chemical weapons, saying that they would use them if outside forces intervene, but pledging not to use them within the country. What you're suggesting in your article in the National Interest, that in making that statement, in effect, the Syrian regime did break the Geneva Convention, or the Geneva Protocols. They're not signatory to the Chemical Weapons Convention, but they are signatories to the Geneva Protocol, which is in full text is the prohibition of the use in war of asphyxiating poisonous and other gases and of bacteriological methods of war. But that's the official definition. So you're arguing that they've already, in effect, violated the Geneva Protocols.
No, I'm saying that a decision has to be made at probably at the Security Council level, whether that is enough to activate the Geneva Protocol. All of the investigations that the Secretary General has so far been involved in, and there have been 12 of them, all of them have been to investigate events that had taken place. So here we have a situation where the Syrians are saying we are going to use them under certain circumstances. So I think that this is enough for the Security Council to say we need an intervention here by the UN Secretary General.
And how would you envision this taking place?
I would say that the Secretary General has the power to put together an investigative team and dispatch them to the border of Syria, probably at Turkey, and demand that they be given entry. So, at that point, the Syrian government would have to make a decision whether to say yes or no. Now, we know that they had said yes before for the humanitarian observers to come in. So there is a precedent for UN people coming into Syria.
So at this point, based upon what the president said in his press briefing on Monday, he warned Syria about crossing a red line, and that he was saying that we're seeing a whole bunch of weapons moving around, or when we start seeing a whole bunch of weapons moving around or being utilized, that would change my calculus, that would change my equation, meaning that that would be, I guess, a tripwire for intervention. How do you read it?
Yes, I read that, and I don't know exactly what this intervention would be like. First of all, you know, the chemical weapons that the Syrians are supposed to have, and I believe they do, how would they use them? You know, if they use it against the insurgents often are part of the population. So, and chemical weapons are a very, very, I should say, broad weapon. They're not exact at all. So would they then use it against insurgents that are inside communities, inside cities, and also therefore put the whole population at risk? Would they do that like the Saddam Hussein did against the Kurds in Halabja in 1988? And that it's not at all clear if they would actually do that. But the other thing is, would they use it against, should we say, some like the Israelis or the foreign source, if they saw them that they were being threatened? I mean, that so far they're not being directly threatened by foreign forces. So it's really not clear at all to me what President Obama is saying. What is the actual tripwire? And to my mind is that really we should keep out of it as much as possible. And I hope the Israelis keep out of it as much as possible and let the United Nations handle it.
Again, I'm speaking with Raymond Zielinskas, who directs the Chemical and Biological Weapons Nonproliferation Program at the James Martin Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. He was a United Nations Special Commission Weapons Inspector in Iraq and is the author of Biological Warfare, Modern Offense and Defense. And his latest book is The Soviet Biological Weapons Program, A History. He has an article at the National Interest, Preventing the Use of Syrian Chemical Weapons. But you mentioned Iraq, and you were a weapons inspector in Iraq, Ray Zielinskas. The long and short of it is that Saddam lobbed a bunch of Scud missiles at Israel that had next to no military utility, but he was trying to draw Israel into that war. So I think the scenario that concerns people is that that Assad, in his desperation, might use chemical weapons to draw Israel in and therefore legitimize himself. Do you see that as a possible scenario?
Yes. First of all, of course, the Saddam Hussein's missile Scuds did not have any chemical warheads.
Now, if they had, he would have gotten nuclear weapons and lobbed on him in return, wouldn't he?
Right. But the situation, I think, is quite different. There you had full warfare in Iraq. So the Allied forces or the coalition forces were on the point of invading Iraq, and there was a full war. We don't have that here in Syria. It's not at all. We don't know. We can't read Assad's mind. He might not think that he's really in a terminal position. In other words, that his regime or his government is ready to fall. We just don't know that. So what you're talking about, I think, is kind of like that last step. Everything is going to hell for him. He's ready to fall. And then now he tries the desperate step of throwing Scud missiles with chemical warheads at the Israelis. I mean, that's one possibility. And that would be a very, very frightful situation, because the Israelis obviously would have to do something. But then you also have to think about that if the Israelis did something, you would probably end up with a regional-wide conflict. And that's not something I think anybody wants.
Now, I understand that the U.S. has a lot of sensors and overhead imagery going on over Syria, both documenting human rights abuses and tracking these depots. There's supposed to be a number of depots that have been identified that have where they think the chemical weapons are stored. And I guess if they're watching them closely, if any movement of these weapons take place, I'm wondering whether that's the red line. You know, I think the fear is, it's been expressed by Israel, is that they don't want these weapons to end up in the hands of either Al-Qaeda, who are a part of the Free Syrian Army, and Hezbollah, which, of course, is a sworn enemy of Israel.
Yes, that's correct. First, so far, the estimate that there's 24 sites. So there's a lot of sites to cover. And then we don't know what kind of mixture those sites have of conventional weapons and chemical weapons. So it's very difficult to tell from afar whether an artillery shell contains chemicals or conventional explosives. And it's the same thing with rockets. The Syrians are self-sufficient in short-range rockets. In other words, rockets that have a range of between 50 and 150 miles. So, and again, who knows really, if, unless you're right there, whether that rockets have chemical warheads or conventional warheads. So there must be something that indicates to the watching Americans in the satellites and maybe YouTubes that this is chemical weapons that are being moved. But I don't really know for sure if that's such an accurate way to estimate whether or not chemical warfare is ready to be used by the Syrians. Again, a very, very difficult situation. And what are they going to use the chemical weapons for? Now, if the Scuds are being readied, that's a different situation because you need launch pads for them. Again, it's going to be probably not possible to tell whether the Scuds have chemical warheads or if they have conventional warheads. But if Scuds are being readied, it can only be against a foreign opponent like by Israel, because you couldn't use the Scuds just wouldn't be precise enough to be used against internal forces.
So, do we know what chemicals they have? Do they have sarin?
The thinking is that they have VX, sarin, and mustard.
And any biological?
No, that's highly hypothetical. The Swedish Defense Research Institute has some years ago came out with a study saying that they certainly had some capabilities to do research and development in this field, but they didn't have any biological weapons. And then a few years later, it was an American general that was testifying before Congress saying that they definitely had research and development pertaining to biological weapons, and they were close to having them, but he couldn't tell for sure whether they actually had biological weapons. And I think that's probably as close as we are right now to knowing. My own feeling is that it's pretty dubious that they have actual biological weapons on the shelf, especially in view of them having a large quantity of chemical weapons.
Well, just in closing, Raymond Zelenskis, my understanding from and the New York Times has been reporting on this, is that the Pentagon has contingency plans in a worst-case scenario, and these involve tens of thousands of American troops, apparently, who've been trained in chemical warfare and in, I guess, in neutralizing chemical arsenals. This whole thing is so murky. If the satellites pick up them deploying Scuds, that would immediately invite an air attack, I would think. So how can you send troops in, and presumably they have to protect them, to neutralize these weapons or to capture them before, say, Hezbollah or Al Qaeda gets hold of them?
Well, there's two levels of concern here. First of all, there's the international level, and the international level is really based on both the Russian and the Chinese saying that there's no such thing that a foreigner coming into Syria is not an option, that it should not happen, that any intrusion into Syrian territory can only be done with the agreement of the Security Council. So that's the international level. Now, if Obama does the same thing as Bush, in other words, does it unilaterally, then you have then to face the opprobrium from the Russians and Chinese and whoever else supports them. And the second, on a tactical level, you have to say, as you mentioned, you have to bring in thousands of troops to, first of all, you have to have the experts go into these 24 or so sites. It might be more or less, but at least 24 sites. And then you have to protect the experts by using thousands of troops. Now, how is that all going to happen? There isn't enough helicopters to do that. So what are you going to have, landing crafts coming in with these troops? I think it's going to be a very, very messy situation on both the strategic or international level and a tactical level. And I just hope that this is really being planned very carefully.
Well, Raymond Zelenskis, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
It was a pleasure to talk to you again. But, yeah.
Good to talk to you again too, Ray. I've just been speaking with Raymond Zelenskis, who directs the Chemical and Biological Weapons Nonproliferation Program at the James Martin Center for Nonproliferation Studies at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. He was a United Nations Special Commission Weapons Inspector in Iraq and is the author of Biological Warfare, Modern Offense and Defense. And his latest book is The Soviet Biological Weapons Program, A History. He has an article in the National Interest, Preventing the Use of Syrian Chemical Weapons. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about what the Keystone XL pipeline will be carrying. Chemical warfare, chemical warfare, chemical warfare, warfare.